Proverbs chapter 25, one verse there, verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, and that's very easy to understand there. In other words, an individual who is hot and thirsty and whatever really appreciates a good, cool drink of water. I can remember as a young boy on the farm that behind our farm, back at the very rear of the farm there, there was a wooded area down there, and there was a spring back there that had the coldest water that I'd ever drank, except that had ice in it. And we used to keep a gourd back there. And some of you probably wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but you hang gourds on the fence and let them dry. Then you cut a hole in there, cut them out, and the small part of the gourd works as a handle, and the big part of it works as a dipper, and it makes a magnificent dipper for drinking water out of a well, any such thing. And so we would always keep one of those things hanging back there. And if somebody ever broke it or busted it or whatever, you could always go back there and there would be a Prince Albert tobacco can there. And I drank a lot of water out of a Prince Albert tobacco can. They take that can and they make it round, squeeze it so that it's not flat-sided, and you dip that water out of there, and it would just, and you know something? There is something about the taste. People say water doesn't have any taste. Certainly it does. There's something about the taste of that water coming out of that spring there that's totally different than the whatever it is that we get out of the faucets today. But I, every time I see this verse, I think about going to that spring back there and drinking that cold water, being hot out there working in the hot sun, and going there and getting that cool water out of that spring. Well, so is good news from a far country. The parallel passage will be Luke 19. Look in Luke 19, verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman, Jesus Christ that nobleman, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus Christ came, and we'll say that this represents his ministry here. His crucifixion is here. He's rejected by his people. And so Jesus Christ dies, is buried, rises from the dead. And then Jesus Christ, as the nobleman, went into a far country. Has to do with going up to heaven, going up to glory. The kingdom of God is there to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. But you know something? While Jesus Christ was in the far country, he sent forth some good news. Boy, I wish some people get a hold of that. Jesus Christ didn't send that good news out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ didn't send that good news out in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Jesus Christ sent that good news out in Acts chapter 9. From his position in that far country up there, he called the Apostle Paul and sent down the message of grace. That is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. And you know what? Just like that cold drink of water out of that well, or that cold drink of water when you're hot and thirsty, so is that good news that came from a far country. And just as that cold drink of water can soothe you and cool you down when you're frustrated and you're hot and you're sweating and everything, so that good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins can calm you down in this frustrated, nervous, upset, overheated world that we live in today. Good news from a far country. What is it? Jesus Christ died for our sins. You know something, folks? For every positive, there's always a negative. Black, white. Right, left. North, south. Supply, need.
perspective.
Righteousness, sin, salvation, condemnation. Always a negative. Good news implies a state that's bad. The word gospel means good news. Good news implies a bad state, a bad condition. In other words, if he sent back good news into this world, things must be bad in this world. What good is good news if things aren't bad? You know, somebody might come in and say, "Have you heard the news?" And that'd be bad news. Someone might come in and say, "Have you heard the good news?" I don't know if I have or not. What is the good news you're referring to? On and on, you see. Not all good news is the same. And some news is not good news. Always a negative to that which is positive. I think about the jury being out. Trial is finished. The jury's out. We're sitting there. We've been tried. Are you listening? We've been tried. The prosecuting attorney has brought forth his case. He's pointed an accusing finger at us, declared us to be guilty. The defense attorney has come forth. The trial is finished. The jury is out, and we're sitting there. We're waiting. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? And the jury comes in, position themselves in the jury box, and the judge says, "What is your verdict?" And the foreman stands up and he begins to read. We find this individual guilty as charged. Or we find this individual not guilty, but on the other hand. Suppose that jury said, "We find this individual guilty as charged. But we've got good news." See, bad news. Guilty. Good news. We've been on the telephone with the governor, and a complete pardon has been granted this individual. God judged us in Christ. He became sin for us. We were found guilty. We were condemned. We were condemned to die. Jesus Christ died in our stead. Jesus Christ went up to glory, but there ain't nobody knew why he was dying. There ain't nobody at that time that knew what it was all about. They didn't know that a pardon had been granted to every individual that would listen to that good news and believe that Christ died for their sins. You know what's great? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That was good news that nobody ever heard before. And so Jesus Christ, from his position in that far country, sent back good news. What is the bad news? See, there's always that negative. Why did we need good news? You know, I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he refers to, "By which you're also saved, unless you have believed in vain." The word vain is emptiness. It's without a cause. By which you're saved, unless you believe without a cause. Well, what cause is there for you to believe that Christ died for your sins if you're not a sinner? What cause is there? In other words, there must be some bad news somewhere. There must have been something brought forth that was bad news to make the news that we receive from the far country by Christ to be good news. What are some of those things? Number one, the condemnation of the law. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. Why do we need good news? Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Turn back, please, to Romans chapter 3. Bad news. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The bad news, we're condemned by the law. The law was given by God unto Moses, and by that law we're condemned. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and thy neighbors thyself. Then the law condemns us. Bad news. Say, well, I'm going to keep the law and get saved. Bad news. Cursed is everyone that continue not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. I'm going to keep the commandments and get to heaven. Bad news. Whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Bad news. What? The law. The law is not good news. It's bad news. Number two, the state of death. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 1. You know, people were dying. Well, how are they going to get out the grave? Romans chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, there is good news for those that fear death. What is that good news? God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will raise you from the dead if you ever die. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What is the bad news? Death had dominion over all men. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death dominated the lives of individuals. Death dominates the lives of individuals today. You think about it. Everything that people do today, they do in view of trying to stay alive. Make no mistake about that. Your cautious driving on the highway is in order that you might stay alive. Your handling of guns carefully in order that you might stay alive. Death is a fearful thing in the eyes of people. Who wants to die? Why, people avoid death. There is a natural thing in every individual to grasp death, to hang on to death, to struggle for life, until the last breath, gasping and clawing for breath to stay alive. Bad news. What? The wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. And not good news. Number three, the wrath of God. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 3. No need to turn there. In Matthew chapter 3, John said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal was opened, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. The chief men, the captains, the kings, the mighty men, on and on and on, ran, and they began to hide themselves. And they began to pray to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, and to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? In other words, whatever there is in that day, when the heavens depart as a scroll, when the moon turns to blood,
the sun turns into darkness and the stars begin to fall. Whatever there is about that is so frightening that men will seek death that they've tried all their lives to avoid. They'll seek death rather than to face him that sits on the throne. The Bible tells me in Revelation, when the wrath begins to fall over there in Revelation chapter 9, there's an angel comes down, takes the lid off the bottomless pit, and there are a bunch of creatures that come out of that bottomless pit, and they're loosed on humanity, and their stings cause torment to the individuals that live on the face of this earth that have taken the mark of the beast. And during that period of time, the Bible says that men will seek death and can't find it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the wrath of God. I'm talking about bad news. There is bad news in this Bible. What is it? The law was given that men might be condemned. Bad news. What is it? The wages of sin is death. The law proves that we sin. The sin brings death. And we fear death. We avoid death. We try to stay away from death. Why, people try to pretty it up. At the time of death, flowers are said. Caskets are covered with beautiful flowers. Did you ever notice the odors? Notice the contrast. Inside the casket is a dead person. Dead people begin to smell. Flowers smell good, the sweet smell. We try to cover up the smell of death. We try to cover up the look of death, the color of death, everything about death. Why? We fear death. But there's something worse than that. What is that? The wrath of God. When the heavens depart as a scroll, when the sun turns dark and the moon turns to blood and the stars begin to fall, then people will try to find that they've avoided all their lives. Why? There is something so fearful and so frightening about all that until men rather to die than to face it. That isn't hard to understand. Why, there have been people that have faced death rather than to, they've killed themselves rather than to face going into bankruptcy during the last, that great depression of 1929 and 30 there, and on and on and on. There's bad news in this Bible, folks. Good news implies something bad. Well, there's bad news. There's bad news in this Bible pertaining to righteousness. Why, Jesus Christ said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I've got bad news for you today if you're one of those people that believe that. Because you're a member of a religious organization, it doesn't matter what religious organization that is. If you believe that since you're a member of that organization that everything is right with God, that's bad news. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None good, no, not one. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The woman told me the other night, said, as a little girl, I opened up my heart and asked Jesus to come in. I said, why would Jesus want to be in your heart? I've got bad news for you if you believe that walking the aisle for Jesus has solved the problem. I got bad news for you if you believe that being baptized solved your problem. Whether you're baptized as a baby, whether you're baptized at 12, whether you're baptized at 30, baptism cannot save you. There's bad news for you. What is it? Unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to fall off in hell. Bad news. What is it? They that reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will have a strong delusion sent unto them, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they believe not the love of the truth that they might be saved, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness, and they're doomed and damned for an eternal, damnable, burning in a fiery hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. All is not good news in this Bible. Good news always implies bad news. Then there's the eternal damnation of hell. Jesus Christ, in describing this, he said that there was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He said there was a beggar named Lazarus that lay at his gate filled with sores. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And he said the day came that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes in torment. And he saw Lazarus afar off, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, and let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, no way, not so. There is a gulf fixed between us and you. He cannot go to where you are. You cannot come to where we are. And he said, Father Abraham, I've got five brothers. Just let him go back there and preach unto them, lest they come to this awful place of torment. And he said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the man said, they won't believe Moses and the prophets. And Abraham said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead. There is eternal damnation in hell. And if you're not saved by the grace of God, if you are not completely and totally putting your trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again for you at Calvary, if you're not trusting Him and Him alone to save you, the only thing between you and hell is a heartbeat. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talking to those disciples, and he said, a man would be better off to cut off his arm and go through life with one arm rather than to end up in hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. He said an individual would be better off to cut off his leg and go through life with one arm and one leg than to go into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm died not. He said a man would be better off to pull out his eye and go through life with one eye, one arm, and one leg than to go into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm died not. Have you ever seen anybody with one leg? I saw Brian in here the other day with two healthy legs, but with his foot broken, hopping around on a pair of crutches. And he came up there and sat down, and he's talking unto me about laying hands on him. And I said, Brian, I'll lay hands on you, and I'll pray for you under one condition. You promised me beforehand that you'll throw the crutches away and take the bandages off his foot. And he said, no way. Now, what's the moral of that? There are people that say, why, it would be hell on earth to live a lifetime with one eye, one arm, and one leg. That's nothing. Jesus said that would be like a picnic on Sunday afternoon rather than to fall off into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You think about it, there's bad news in this Bible. There is bad news for you if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's bad news for you if you believe that your righteousness are capable of getting you to heaven. There is bad news for you if you believe that you can just forget it all and that there is nothing in the future out there. You die, you're just dead like a dog, and it's all over. There's bad news for you. The Bible is clear that there is eternity out there in front of every one of us, and eternally we will be in joy and happiness and bliss around the Lord, or we will be in pain and misery and agony, burning in the fires of hell. One of the two, you make the choice. There wouldn't be any good news if there wasn't bad news. Good news implies there's bad news. You know, I honestly cannot remember how it was as a little boy with some preacher preaching on hellfire and damnation. I don't really remember that. And I thought about that. I thought, you'd think that I would remember that. And so the question has come in my mind, Did nobody preach that to me? You know something, folks? As a 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old boy back there, I believe I'd have been miserable sitting in an assembly and have some preacher up there preaching hellfire and damnation. I believe that I'd have been miserable having some preacher preach to me that if you could divide the floor and divide the earth and look down in that hole down there in the heart of the earth and listen to the groans and the screams and the wailing of the people in hell today, what it would do to you. Imagine hearing the moans and the groans and the screams while the Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Imagine the stench. He said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And I think in terms of carcasses on a fire with worms working in and out. The stench, the horrifying smell of the burning of flesh, the burning of human bodies and whatever. I think of the whole miserable state of affairs, and I think, how could I have missed it if somebody would have preached that to me as a young boy back there? I don't believe they did. I don't believe I ever forgot that. A little girl in an assembly one morning went home to her father, who never went to church, sat at home, read his newspaper. And if anything was said to him about it, he said, my wife takes care of that. She handles the religion in this family. You know, some of the sarcastic remarks made by lost people are the stupidest things you ever heard, aren't they? And so that little girl ran in the door, grabbed her daddy by the hand, said, Daddy, come here. I want to show you something. Come here. And she's just tugging at her daddy. She went in and she turned the gas stove on. The flame came up there. And she took her daddy's hand and starts putting it toward that flame, and he's drawn back and he said, what are you doing? She said, put your hand in the fire there. He said, no, what is this anyhow? That would burn. And she said, Daddy, that's right. So that's what that preacher said. Said that preacher down there said that if anybody would just try that, just turn that flame on and put their hand in that flame, that it might wake them up and cause them to realize the agony and the torture of hell, and maybe they'd trust Christ and get saved and never go there. There's bad news if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior. What is the good news? Number one, the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? It's the good news of Almighty God pertaining to the resurrection of His Son. In other words, Jesus Christ died at Calvary. God Almighty judged His Son and condemned His Son in your behalf. God Almighty made His Son to become your sin. And God judged your sin and condemned you in Christ and put you to death in Christ. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ died and was buried. But what is the good news of God? The good news of God is that He raised His Son from the dead. What good news do we have then? We have the good news that even though the wages of sin is death, even though that people die around us every day, even though that death is inevitable unless we go out in the rapture, that God already has proven that death cannot hold the individual. You see, there is something satanic about death. There is something about Jesus Christ being turned over to the devil and his angels there and being put to death and Jesus Christ going into death. There is something about him as in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, he's said to have had the power of death. Satan having the power of death. He's the power of darkness with the power of death. And even though that is true, Satan and his powerful emissary, Satan and all his power and all his gimmicks cannot hold you in death if you know Christ as your Savior. The good news of God is that He raised Christ from the dead, victorious over sin and hell and death. But that isn't all. The good news of God. I think about back here, an Old Testament saint, we'll say. That Old Testament saint back there offered the blood sacrifices, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that they couldn't take away sin. And so that man died. He died as a believer. As a believer, he couldn't be cast down into the fires of hell. He couldn't go up to where Jesus Christ went later on. Why? Sins weren't paid for. So he went down into the lower parts of the earth. He went down in paradise. But I find out that there are gates down there. I find that according to Revelation chapter 1, that Jesus Christ has the keys to hell and death. And so, Jesus Christ, when he died, left his body. His body went into the grave, and Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth, and he had the power to open the prison down there. I believe, then, there is a prison house in the center of this earth somewhere. I believe that there are people down there that have some association with the devil himself, and his power, they were brought to that place based upon the power of the devil himself. But Jesus Christ, according to the good news of God, went down there and came back out victorious and rose from the dead. The good news of Almighty God. So then, what does that tell me? That tells me I don't have to be afraid of death. That tells me I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I die. Number two, the gospel of God. Number two, the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul refers to the gospel, he said, that I also received. The gospel that whereby you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What is it? That Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again. The good news of God is the good news that God, and I'm going to use a term if you'll permit me, born his son from the dead. That Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. God begot him from the dead, raised him from the dead. The good news pertaining to Christ is that Christ died for our sins. Now, Christ dying for our sins included humanity in general. In other words, Christ died for our sins. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Christ died for your sins. You understand? Whatever you've been, Christ died for your sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. If I put out here and I say, this right here is the world with all that are in it. They were ready to be condemned. They were ready to be burned. God is long-suffering, but his long-suffering had finally come to an end. God is not going to tolerate mankind anymore. Read Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 very carefully. The imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. And God had given mankind over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Why? Because he would not retain God in his thoughts. And so the end of the world was ready to come. But Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And by his death at Calvary, God made friendship. God became friends. Is that right? Is it? God can be friendly to an unfriendly world today. Now that blows my mind. That tells me that God does not operate on the basis of his emotions. You see, I operate on the basis of my emotions. I get emotionally upset. Like Sam Jones said, he had to pray that God Almighty give him the grace not to be glad that some people were going to hell. We operate on the basis of God doesn't. If he did, he'd burn the whole world. But God can be friends to an unfriendly world. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. So what's the good news today? Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then the third thing, the third gospel I want to refer to, is the gospel of the grace of God. Turn your Bible, please, to Acts chapter 20. I want you to read this verse with me. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Acts 20, verse 22, Paul said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Well, then there's the gospel of God. That's the good news that God begot his Son from the dead. There's the gospel of Christ. That's the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And then the gospel of the grace of God. What is the gospel of the grace of God? Turn to Titus and look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 9, Titus chapter 2, verse 9, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again." Now you understand that a servant is at the lowest realm of humanity in the passage. In other words, you couldn't get lower than a servant there. No servant has a genealogy. Nobody cares where he came from. He has no genealogy. None of that is worthwhile. And that always amazed me about who is the guy who wrote the thing, Roots? Alex Haley. Well, hey, there is no genealogy records of a servant. You find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the genealogy of Christ in Matthew because he's a king. You find the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke because he's a man. But there's no genealogy in Mark because Mark lists him as a servant. There's no genealogy in John because John lists him as God, and God has no genealogy. There's no, the servant is the lowest. Verse 10, "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men." The all men of verse 11 include the servants of verse 9. You see, even servants, the lowly servant, he is worthy of nothing. That lowly servant can be saved based upon God's grace. How can God be gracious to we that are in this room? Based upon the fact that God was in Christ reconciling all unto himself. How can God be gracious unto us? Based upon the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Christ died for our sins, therefore God can be gracious unto us, have special favor unto us, and save us for Christ's sake. Turn back to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy 2, look at verse 4. Reference to God our Savior of verse 3. Verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved." That's all men without distinction of race, creed, or color. All men without distinction of moral creeds or whatever. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Well, then it's God's will that you be saved no matter who you are, where you are, what you've been doing, where you came from, or whatever. God's will is that you be saved, and he proved that by giving his Son for you. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Verse 5, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." That's all without exception. In verse 4, "Who will have all men without distinction to be saved." Verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all without exception to be saved." In other words, there is no exception to the rule. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for all men. No exception. Well, then that means that you can be saved. That means if you're not saved already, it's because you will not to be saved. Why? Because God wills that you be saved. But you will not to be saved by his method. You see, Cain willed to be blessed, but it was Cain's will that he be blessed by his own methods. I may be talking to somebody right now that you want to be saved, but you want to be saved by your method. Your method has to do with some system or whatever that you've been taught down through the years. Well, beloved, that won't work. God cannot be gracious to us outside of Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. There is no salvation outside of that truth. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. What is that grace of God? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel of God. He begot Jesus Christ from the dead. The gospel of Christ, that he died for our sins. The gospel, the grace of God. God can be gracious to all men without distinction of race, creed, or color. No exception to the rule. Servants, immoral, whoremongers, idolaters, liars, cheats, murderers, thieves, and robbers, all can be saved by the grace of God. What is that? Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to believe? It means to come to the place that you are totally satisfied that the work that he did in dying for you satisfied God the Father, and that by you believing that, God will save you. If you are trying to save yourself, that proves that you still do not believe the gospel of Christ. Now, why would someone not want to believe that? Because it was not good news unto them. Why would it not be good news unto them? Because they don't believe the bad news that the Bible says about them. You see, if you believe you're good, then you don't need a Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Would you let's stand for prayer?